The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
The penalties for violating workers' rights, what some elected leaders are hoping to strengthen. What happened on the West Coast on this day 90 years ago? And today on the show, the Director of Safety for the Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers, and what bargaining together can mean 4 years from now. Welcome to the Thursday, May 9th edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with Liliana Calderon. Liliana is the Director of Health and Safety for the Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers, and we are still in the middle of Construction Safety Week. We've done a couple of interviews to highlight construction safety, and today it's going to be involving the bricklayers, and we're going to discuss what OSHA has done and what they're continuing to do and what they're trying to do, especially when it comes to falls. And you think about the craft of bricklayers, the dangers that they face day in and day out in the construction industry. So there's a lot posted. I urge you to go to the website bacweb.org/safety. And you'll see a posting, National Safety Stand Down to Prevent Falls in Construction. And this will wrap up tomorrow. And there's a page linking to OSHA, Fall Prevention Training Guide, Ladder Safety Guidance, Scaffolding. My gosh, falls prevention audio messages, stand down partner materials, what a number of unions are doing, including the bricklayers on outreach. Liliana will get into that as well. There's another website, too, I'm going to drive you to. I mentioned this the other day, ConstructionSafetyWeek.com, ConstructionSafetyWeek.com. And it reads as follows, each person on the job, regardless of their role, has a deep responsibility to take initiative, accountability, and personal ownership in keeping their team and job site safe. We must work to create an environment that encourages communication, teamwork, sharing of ideas and perspectives, and a commitment to listening and embracing every voice. This not only builds trust and confidence in every individual, it also deepens respect, unity, and understanding within teams at all levels. And everyone is empowered to use their voice, but voices only matter if they are heard. Good point. So Liliana will be our first guest. Later in the show, we're going to link up with two individuals. Jacob Morrison, no stranger to the show. He's co-host of the Valley Labor Report. He's also a member of AFGE 1858. He and Adam Keller host the Valley Labor Report, TVLR.FM, growing an audience, I might add. And he's going to be joined by Connor Lewis. Now, Connor is with, this is an interesting organization, Seven Mountains AFL-CIO. Now, he is a member of the Washington Baltimore News Guild, which is affiliated with the Communication Workers of America. He works as a union organizer and a freelance journalist. And he serves as president of Seven Mountains AFL-CIO, which covers four counties in central Pennsylvania. What we're going to talk about on the show with the two gentlemen is something that Sean Fain, president of the United Auto Workers, brought up a couple of weeks ago. And Sean wants, and he already started this with the Big Three last year, because their contract's going to end, I believe, right around April of 2028. So 4 years from now. He wants all the unions to structure their deals so they end at the same time. And this way, we will have collective power. This is very similar to what's happened in other countries, especially in Europe. And when you get all the unions say, okay, enough is enough, we're going to walk out, well, the country pretty much grinds to a halt. And that's exactly what he's trying to do. So both gentlemen will talk about what's going on there. And right now, Alabama is in the center of attention because I believe it's maybe the week after next, the workers at Mercedes-Benz will be voting whether or not to go for a union. And I'll tell you, the conditions at that plant have been atrocious. And right now, I believe like 70% said, yeah, we're probably going to go union. And the union, well, the company is fighting tooth and nail on that. I'm sure we'll touch on that as well, with especially with Jacob. Right now, let's take a look at the world of labor, the segment brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at boydwatterson.com. Democrats on the U.S. House Committee on Education and the Workforce released a report this week highlighting the weakness of civil penalties on employers who violate workers' rights and calling for them to be strengthened. Those workers' rights I'm talking about. The report argues that the low penalties do not deter employers from violating labor and employment law, but instead can be absorbed as part of the cost of doing business. You know, this has been going on a long time. For instance, the median penalty for OSHA when a worker gets killed on the job. You ready for this? $14,063, which is less than the median CEO car allowance of $15,000. Titled "A Slap on the Wrist, How It Pays for Unscrupulous Employers to Take Advantage of Workers," the report focuses on penalties for illegally employing children, stealing workers' wages, violating organizing rights, unsafe workplaces, and failing to provide essential mental health and substance use disorder benefits. A write-up on the report describes it as a response to what they call an employer crime spree, given the estimated yearly $50 billion in wage theft and nearly 20,000 reported unfair labor practices each and every year. That's amazing. Got to check that out more. A Slap on the Wrist, How It Pays for Unscrupulous Employers to Take Advantage of Workers, especially in the United States of America. Speaking of which, federal authorities found children as young as 14 illegally employed, working excessive hours and operating dangerous machinery. This happened at Tough Torque Corporation, a manufacturing plant in Morristown, Tennessee. Tough Torque produces outdoor power equipment parts for major companies, including John Deere, Toro, and Yamaha. The U.S. Department of Labor has obtained a federal consent judgment that requires Tough Torque to pay a civil penalty of $296,951 and set aside $1.5 million as disgorgement of 30 days profits related to its use of child labor. That's a new word, disgorgement. Tough Torque also agreed to allow unannounced, warrantless searches of its facility for 3 years and refrain from entering new contracts with staffing agencies or other contractors with child labor law violations. That happens a lot. They say, oh, we didn't know anything. We just hired this company and they hired the kids that are 14. You know, we talked about this yesterday. There was a story out of California, poultry processors who were ordered to pay almost $5 million in back wages. And they had kids as young as 14 working in the poultry plant using sharp knives to debone poultry. Amazing, amazing. One more here, too, regarding child labor. The Pennsylvania Department of Labor fined the owners of multiple Domino's pizza shops for over 700 child labor violations. The violations included excessive working hours, employment outside of legal working hours for children during school, not getting parent authorization, and failing to provide breaks. Each violation can hold a fine of up to $5,000. That's another slap on the wrist. All right, we're going to have to take a quick break now. When we come back, we're going to check in with the Director of Safety for the Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at CWA-union.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Founded in 1887, the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters represents the employees responsible for tirelessly constructing and maintaining the national rail system in America. For more than a century, the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees has proven they have what it takes to protect its members and meet the ever-changing challenges of the rail industry. Today, the BMWED continues to fight for job security, fair wages, better benefits, and safer, more modern work environments. For more information, please visit BMWE.org. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at IFPTE.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Iron Workers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield's National Labor Office. You know, Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies formed out of a need to provide affordable health care to teachers, to loggers, and miners. And in 1965, the Blues developed the National Labor Office to strengthen its commitment to organized labor. Well, today, Blue Cross and Blue Shield's National Labor Office remains focused on America's workers, advocating for affordable and equitable health care, partnering with strategic alliances to provide industry-leading products and services, and proudly serving more than 18 million unionized workers, retirees, as well as their families. All working hard for America's working families, for the health of America. You can learn more by following them at Blue Labor on LinkedIn and X, formerly known as Twitter. All right, let's go to line number one and welcome our featured guest today. And this week is Construction Safety Week. It's important that when you, as a worker, get up in the morning, go to work, you come home safely at the end of the day. And joining us on our live line is Liliana Calderon, who is the Director of Safety for the Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. Liliana, welcome to America's Workforce. I want to get into what you're doing this week, what the bricklayers have done. And boy, you think about especially some of these tall buildings, it's important with all the information that's out there for fall protection. We're going to get specific on that. But let's talk a little bit about you. I understand you you joined the Bricklayers, what was it, 17 years ago? What made you go in that direction? Let's start right there. Go ahead.
Well, first, thank you for having me on. And to answer that question, 17 years ago, I was looking for work. I went to a job fair. I got in contact with Chicago Women in Trades, who helped women like myself get into the trade. They had a program called Technical Opportunities Program that helps women get ready for, you know, the testing that gets involved, the aptitude test, and get the hands-on experience. I went down to the bricklayers to do a hands-on, and I fell in love. And from there, they helped me get into the bricklayers apprenticeship program, and history was made.
I like that. And I understand you're involved in the Tradeswomen Builds Nations conference to get more people like yourself involved in the trades. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we this is a gathering of, right now, I think last year we were about 4,000 women and allies gathered together for a weekend to promote and empower women to get into the trades and to keep keep the momentum going and become leaders themselves so that we can get more women and more people of color into these trades that, you know, that create great jobs and great opportunities.
And in your opinion, do you feel that we're making some progress on that? I know there's been a lot of outreach. I'm just wondering if it's connecting right now, in your opinion.
I think we are. I think we really are. I mean, I can tell you 17 years ago, I was the lonely woman on job sites. Now you go into job sites and you have women from all trades. It's a great thing to see, and it's very inspiring, and I think we can do a lot more, and we will.
Okay, let's talk about health and safety. How long have you been director of health and safety for the bricklayers?
About 2 years now.
And how did you get there? I mean, that's got to be an interesting journey in itself.
Yeah, no, as I said, I worked out as a bricklayer in Chicago. The hands-on in the field. I was always conscious of safety. And an opportunity came available 3 years ago, and I guess someone saw that I was really into safety and wanted to, you know, and cared about my crew, and saw that a potential in me, and offered me a job with the International to run their safety department. And
that's
I think that was the greatest thing. I mean, I really care about the members. I care about the members in my union, but also all union members, you know, because like you said at the top of the show here, we want to make sure that everybody comes home the same way they came, if not better.
Exactly. Yeah, it's National Safety Stand Down Week to prevent falls in construction. This started on Monday. It'll wrap up tomorrow. But every week, when you think about it, every week is Safety Week when it comes to that. BACweb.org/safety. is a website. So there's a lot of good information there. Well, why don't you tell us what you have been doing and what you're going to continue to do? I know there's a lot of outreach going on, but as Director of Health and Safety, what have you done so far this week, and what do you see moving forward?
So, like you said, it's Construction Falls Week, Stand Down, and you know, if you look at the numbers, you know, about I think 2022, there was 397 fatal falls to lower levels, and that's one too many, you know. And so what we've been really focused on is member engagement, because we can talk to the contractors, we can talk to upper-level management, and they can send the information down, but the best way to get to someone is the members themselves. And we created toolbox talks for the week that go through, you know, ladder safety, scaffold safety, making sure guardrails are up, making sure your proper PPE is being worn, that you're trained in all these things. We've put together webinars to kind of focus down on all the aspects of fall protection, but also the aspects on the equipment that you're using, that you will be using, making sure that you understand what those hazards are and what you can do to mitigate those hazards, right?
You mentioned the toolbox. Can you give us some insight into the toolbox? I think you kind of touched on it, but you know, a lot of this is covered in the apprenticeship program, but there's obviously more to it. Can you explain that part?
Sure. So you want to do toolbox talks, and you know, before you get going every morning, make sure that we run through those couple of big points. You know, you want to make sure that you're getting up to that scaffold safely and efficiently. Once you're up on the scaffold, making sure you have guardrails. They're all put in place correctly. That the plank that you'll be working on, the platform that you'll be working on is fully planked and sturdy. So it hits on every little aspect that you can think of, so that when you get on that scaffold, you're thinking about it. Because that's the one thing about in the mornings, you're thinking about going to work, but you're not thinking about the equipment or the the work that you're going to be doing and how safe you're going to be doing it. You're not thinking about the proper PPE that you might need. Are you trained on it? So we want to make sure when we talk about toolbox talks, we throw those things in there so that you start thinking about them.
You were talking about member engagement. You know, when you approach the members on this, how receptive are they? It would seem to me that, I want to be safe on the job, but there's some that probably take a lot of things for granted. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, to that point, that's why we've been doing member engagement, because a lot of people, you know, if you talk to some older, more mature members, you know, they've been doing it this way for a long time and nothing has happened, right? And right. To me, that is luck, because, you know, construction is a very hazardous environment, and you got to try your best to mitigate those things, right? But talking to them and making them understand, and maybe, you know, putting some stories together of other accidents or incidents that have occurred that could happen to them. And I always go in there and I say, look, you remember you're walking on a plank and all of a sudden it teeter totters, or you step down and it's 2 inches between one plank and the other. You have that we call it a 2-inch heart attack. Like, think about that if something were to happen that's not right, because you think that things are just going to be good. You're going to come home at the end of the day because that's how it's been. So we're trying to change minds that way, but for the most part, everyone is very receptive and understands that, you know, you can fall from, you know, a height of 2 inches to 15, 20, 30, you know, you name it. But they are very receptive.
Liliana, I like what you said there, the 2-inch heart attack, because it doesn't take much. I mean, just a little slip up could be catastrophic. It's so important. Safety first. It's National Safety Stand Down to Prevent Falls in Construction. We're speaking with Liliana Calderon, who is the Director of Health and Safety for the Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. And as I mentioned, there's a lot of really good information on their website. If you go to BACweb.com/safety, you can download a lot of information that she was talking about here on the show. We'll continue with her later in the show. We're going to check in with Jacob Morrison of the Valley Labor Report and Connor Lewis. Connor Lewis and Jacob are getting together to talk about what may happen 4 years from now if all unions collectively get together and decide, well, maybe we should go on strike. We'll talk about that more later in the show. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
Are you an experienced mechanical insulator looking to take your career to the next level? Insulators Local 50 in Central Ohio has steady work for a number of years. Insulators Local 50 offers a total wage and benefits package that can't be beat. It's not just the competitive wages. Local 50 also provides medical, vision, and dental insurance with no paycheck deductions for you and your family. Don't miss out on the chance to secure your future. Join us at Insulators Local 50. Earn great pay and the best benefits. Visit insulators50.com/AWF50 to fill out the online form, and a Local 50 representative will call to begin the process. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. For more information, please visit bmwe.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. When you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. We had Melissa Crocker on the show just a couple of days ago because Tuesday was Teacher Appreciation Day, and all this week is Teacher Appreciation Week. It's also Nurses Appreciation Week. We're going to speak with Healthcare District 11 Director of the Steelworkers tomorrow on the show to talk about that and more. It's also Mental Health Awareness Month for the entire month of May, and it's National Safety Stand Down to Prevent Falls in Construction Week. We want to make sure that everybody is safe on the job. And joining us as our featured guest today is Liliana Calderon, who is the Director of Health and Safety for the Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. Liliana, when we talked in the first segment, you mentioned that you started with the Bricklayers in Chicago 17 years ago. I'm just wondering, and I've asked this to various guests on the show, 17 years ago and today, there had to be a difference in when it comes to young people being coached on safety, especially in the Bricklayers. We can focus on the Bricklayers here. Take me back to that time, because I know you know what's going on today. The differences, what was taught back then and where we are now, because I'm inclined to believe that more is being done when it comes to safety on the job, especially in the trades. So can you contrast the differences here? Let's start right there.
You know, 17 years ago, and to be quite honest, you know, 17 years ago, I was really young. And so when we talked, you know, we went through the OSHA training. It was an OSHA 10. I remember sitting there listening, but, you know, I was 23 years old. I was listening partially, right? But we went through an OSHA 10, and that's very basic on the hazards that you're going to encounter on the job site. And fast forward, now we're doing OSHA 30s. We're getting more in-depth on the different hazards. You know, when 17 years ago, it went fast. And I think now we're taking more time in discussing those hazards and how to stay safe from them and making sure that the PPE that we're wearing fits us correctly so that it does its intended job and keeps us safe. 17 years ago, I remember going through that very quickly, and not specific to making sure it fits. Everything fits. You know, you get a hard hat, you get a pair of safety glasses, and if it fits, it was loose, but it was on your head, it was on your face. Now we're making sure that everyone is trained on the PPE they're wearing, that it fits them correctly. Those are some of the things that I can really remember being a big difference. And like I said, we are making sure that we are honing down and getting in depth on every hazard out there that we can possibly get into.
It's interesting what you brought about making everything fit properly. Being the fact that you're a woman, did you have a hard time getting acclimated or finding the, for instance, whatever protection, whatever safety gear you needed that fit you properly? Because, you know, let's be honest here. I mean, for years, this was a guy's trade, but there's been a shift in all that. It has, you know, how was it 17 years ago and how is it now when it comes to that?
You know, 17 years ago, going out first day on the job, mind you, I was fresh, green, never been on any job site. None of my family came from his trades, so it was very new to me. So trying to find gloves that fit me properly, a harness that would fit me, because I was a very petite woman, was very difficult. I remember putting on a harness and getting it down to the smallest it could get, and it was still loose, right? And it didn't fit me properly. Gloves were a big thing, right? We want to wear gloves, but the gloves that I had and could find, they never fit me. They were always too big, which creates a bigger hazard, right? Because you're not holding things correctly. Things can slip out of your hands and hurt yourself, get caught in something. So it was very, very difficult, even down to the boots, because I have smaller feet, and construction boots are made for men who have larger feet. So that was difficult. But now going forward, in the last 10 years, maybe even less, we've seen a real big change in the gear. They're more driven to women's body frames, sizes. There's a lot more a lot more equipment out there for women. And I think, like you said, things are changing. There's more women in this industry, and we're seeing PPE that is consciously made for women. And I think that's great because, as I said, that PPE, when you're wearing it, it has to fit you correctly. Otherwise, it is not doing its job. It might be creating a greater hazard. And that goes for anybody, whether women or men.
You mentioned OSHA. I want to talk about OSHA here because OSHA has done a great job. Because of OSHA, there's almost 700,000 people. I'm going back to, 1970, 71 when OSHA started. They're alive today because of safety. And there's a lot of people that would like to actually defund OSHA. Sadly, they need more money, not less. You mentioned OSHA 10 and OSHA 30. Now, can you speak to that? Is OSHA being more proactive, especially in the trade, especially let's focus on the bricklayers here, obviously. But the differences here, what OSHA has demanded for the employers, for the contractors. Can you explain how that has changed?
So the difference between an OSHA 10 and OSHA 30, obviously, is 10 hours of sit-down classroom and the 30 hours difference, right? It's basically 10 hours. You go through the very base fundamentals of OSHA, who it is, who they are, what they do, retaliation, you find out how to submit a complaint, the laws that protect you if you make a complaint. It's very broad. When you go into an OSHA 30, you start learning more about the individual hazards in greater depth. I shouldn't say that OSHA 10 doesn't do that, but they do, but it's very base. So when you go into a 30, you're learning a lot more, in the specific hazards on proper PPE, scaffolding, electrical hazards, caught in between hazards. You're getting a much more in-depth understanding of those hazards out in the field that can, really help you get top shape and ready for those things out there in the field.
Speaking with Liliana Calderon, who's the Director of Health and Safety for the Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers, and this is Construction Safety Week. We want to make sure that people come home at the end of the day. It's so important. Let me ask you about the contractors out there. And I know so many, especially in the trades, you hear about these labor management co-ops, and everybody wants to work together for the common good. You want the project to get done on time, and you want the workers to be safe on the job. In your assessment, how are we doing in that regard? Let's be honest. There's good contractors. There's bad contractors out there. And coming from a union, when you have a union site, it's going to have better safety precautions. But I'm just wondering, how do you feel where we are in 2024, Liliana?
I think you hit it on the head. You got the good ones and you got the bad ones. In being in union spaces, that you're going to get those protections. I think those contractors that are not so keen on going in heavy on safety, they have to understand that, you're training people your cost. It costs money to train people. It also costs money when someone gets hurt, and let alone if they die. All that money that you're spending could have been a profit if you would have just had them trained properly. You would have taken safety as number one. I think a lot of these contractors don't. You're thinking business, right? You're always thinking, well, if I spend money on this to get them their proper PPE, then I'm losing money. But you're not losing money. You're going to gain money. People that feel safe on a job site will produce a lot more. The morale of those employees will be greater, and you'll produce a lot more. So, and that happens at union job sites. I think, in my own personal opinion, I think on a union job site, when the contractor focuses on safety, those team members, those workers feel a lot safer and are much more productive than they wouldn't.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show today. Really important that workers are safe on the job. Liliana Calderon, Director of Health and Safety, Danger of Falls, National Safety Stand Down to Prevent Falls in Construction. Now, it wraps up tomorrow. Anything else you want to call attention to? I mean, this is the week that you do as much outreach as possible. And I have to drive people to the website, bacweb.org/safety. There's so much good information there. I mentioned this at the top of the show. OSHA Falls Prevention Campaign page, ladder safety guidance, scaffolding. You touched on a lot of this in our segment today. But in wrapping up, any parting words here, Liliana?
I would just say that safety is an everyday thing, whether you are on the job site or at home. I think if everybody just takes a little time to hone down and figure out, okay, today I'm going to be working on a ladder, then let's see, what are these steps, right? What can keep me safe? And I think if we start thinking about our tasks at work like that, then we can stay safe and make it home safe and sound every day.
Well said, Liliana Calderon. I do encourage you to check out that webpage. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, what bargaining together can mean 4 years from now. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans. And we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers. And we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO. This portion of the show brought to you by the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. For more information, please visit bacweb.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
We are the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America. We live in every community across the U.S. and Canada. We are a safe, skilled, productive, and diverse workforce of 500,000 strong that literally and figuratively helps build North America. We maintain our roads, bridges, waterways, tunnels, and dams. We keep the mail moving, and we serve the public good in state and municipal governments, as well as in law enforcement and universities.
I love it. Every day I wake up, I love coming to work.
I love it. I'm proud of my job. I'm proud of the people I work for. I'm proud of my union.
LIUNA is a leading advocate for investing in America's infrastructure, bringing unemployment down, reducing transportation costs for American households and businesses. We are helping build the new 23-mile DC Dulles Metro Rail. We were involved in building a new American landmark, the Hoover Dam Bypass Bridge, and the pride of the nation's capital, the Washington National Stadium. And we are helping to rebuild the new World Trade Center complex in New York City. And LIUNA is building a foundation in emerging market sectors. We are supporting new energy development projects, including natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind. Employers know they can rely on LIUNA-trained workers to bring critical skill sets to the job site. LIUNA members are equipped to respond to all kinds of disasters. Across the country, we are there, on the job and off, working to get things fixed. Our family-oriented local unions are active in their communities, volunteering when anyone is in need. It's just the way we do things. LIUNA's history is rich in tradition, and we look forward to providing the men and women that America needs to build a better future for all of us.
We're here to build America, and that's what we're going to do.
Now, back to America's workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency. You could find more at ulagency.org. Before we get to our next couple of guests here, I just want to mention that this is a very significant day in labor history. It was on this date, May 9th, 1934, 90 years ago. The Longshoremen's Association struck shippers on the West Coast ports. And get this, they shut down all the docks from Bellingham, Washington, Washington State, to San Diego, California. Imagine that. The dockers, about 1,500 of them, walked off their jobs that morning to face what they say was an array of hostile shippers united to maintain an open shop. And they had scabs ready to take those jobs. And I want to give a salute here to Cal Winslow. Now, Cal is the director of the Mendocino Institute, also a past fellow in environmental history at the University of California in Berkeley. He was also a professor of labor studies. He really did a good piece on what happened on this day titled The Strike of the Longshoremen 90 Years Ago. And he cites Harry Bridges. If you give it an opportunity, go on the web and pick up Harry Bridges, who emerged as the radical leader of the strike committee. And that strike, 1934 strike, became a movement, according to Cal. Longshoremen there joined thousands of others in that glorious year, as he called it, itching for a fight, one that would ultimately revolutionize workplace relations, opening the door for millions. When you think about that, because, you know, we don't have what we have today if it wasn't for groups like the Longshoremen 90 years ago. And that is a perfect segue to our next segment here. And joining us on our live line right now is Jacob Morrison. Jacob has been on the show many, many times. He is co-host with Adam Keller of the Valley Labor Report. Do check him out, TVLR.FM. And joining him is Connor Lewis. Connor is president of the Seven Mountains AFL-CIO. He is also a member of the Washington Baltimore News Guild. Seven Mountains AFL-CIO covers four counties in central Pennsylvania. Jacob, I want to start with you because what we're talking about here is something that Sean Fain, and we played a clip from X last week saying, you know, get ready 4 years from now could be real interesting. I'm going to let you pick it up from there. Talk to me about what the plan of action is. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right to mention that, you know, Sean Fain mentioned this at the conclusion of the successful stand-up strike against the big three automakers last year, saying that, you know, every union in the United States should, to the extent possible, align their contracts to expire on May 1st, 2028. And the reason for that is really pretty simple. You know, we're all union members here, and the reason that we're union members, that we believe in the cause of unionism, is that we are stronger together. We get better contracts in union workplaces because we bargain collectively. And so all that Sean Fain's call is doing is asking the labor movement to take that logic to its logical next step and to not just bargain together within our workplaces, but to coordinate bargaining across workplaces and try to align our contract cycles, because when everybody's contract is expiring at different times, it's difficult to align struggles, and, you know, workers can be whipsawed against one another, even in individual, particularly in individual industries. You know, I don't want to step on any toes or anything, but if you look at industries that are heavily unionized but do not have nationwide master contracts that have one contract expiration, like you see with the UAW and the big three automakers, or with UPS and the Teamsters, then even where union density is high in an industry, it's still difficult to get those same types of contracts. And so if we can bring everybody together to align our contracts, we're going to be able to do something similar across industries and across workplaces. And so being president of the North Alabama Labor Council, I and other leaders of labor councils across the country, including my friend and brother here, Connor Lewis, we are encouraging, we're passing resolutions at our labor councils, encouraging our affiliates to answer Sean Fain's call where appropriate. And so my labor council unanimously passed a resolution endorsing that call to align contracts with May the 1st, 2028. We have multiple unions that are, you know, excited about the opportunity to be a part of this. And even where, you know, for one reason or another, maybe one union isn't able to, maybe their contract expiration is already set and it's not the same date, or for whatever reason, they're not going to be able to meet that alignment. They still think it's a good idea for people to do it where they can, right? So that's really that's what Connor and I and lots of labor councils across the country. We even have the Vermont State Federation has come on board and endorsed this call. The Greater Louisville, Kentucky Central Labor Council has also endorsed this call. That's where the Kentucky truck plant was struck. The president of that UAW local is also the president of the labor council. So there are a lot of people on board with this campaign for, you know, as young as it is. And the goal is to basically get everybody on board by 2028.
I see there's a website posted now, too. It's bargaintogether.org, bargaintogether.org. Let's go to Connor Lewis. Now, Connor, again, is a member of the Washington Baltimore News Guild. Connor, what's your role in this this nationwide movement here?
Well, you know, I think that as president of my labor council, you know, I've worked with, you know, with Jacob and others. Again, you know, I think our role is to encourage affiliates to answer this call, because as labor councils, you know, we don't have a role in directing affiliates to really do anything with regard to their collective bargaining, their contract process, whether it takes strike votes, but we can encourage them to look at this, encourage them to seriously consider it, and prepare ourselves as labor councils to support them if they do choose to go down this road. And I think that one of the things that labor councils can really play an important role in is creating locally ready, strike-ready labor movements. And if you look at a lot of the large mass strikes historically, labor councils were a big part of it. They were a big hub of coordination between unions. They were a big hub of support for strike action. And I think that that's a role that we can play again today. And I think something that a lot of folks are really excited about, that it gives an opportunity to not just strengthen our bargaining position, strengthen our affiliates' ability to bargain good contracts, and strengthen working class power. It's also an opportunity to strengthen local labor councils, local and area labor bodies that, you know, often have kind of retreated in their role that they play in the kind of broader labor movement. And I think it's a shame that a lot of labor councils have diminished in their kind of role with the local labor movement, with the area labor movement. And I think that a lot of folks are taking a really strong look at that and thinking, well, could we do more with this? Could we be a bigger force? Could we help build the kind of labor solidarity, this kind of unity that allows for these kinds of large collective actions? Can we build kind of the movement that we all often, I think, wish that we had, but that is really difficult to sometimes piece together. And so I think that, you know, our role is to spread the message, to kind of spread the gospel of the UAW's approach in the stand-up strike and say that, okay, UAW workers stood up. Different plants stood up. They stood up as part of this national strike. Now it's our turn as broader members of the labor movement that have a stake in this, just like UAW members, to stand up to and to prepare for making mass strike action really possible in 2028.
If I could, I just want to expand generally on the idea of the importance of labor councils. You know, I mean, that Connor's right that they really have been diminished in what people kind of view them as vehicles for, because if you think about just thinking about labor councils, they are really unique and interesting bodies that we don't really have in a lot of places. So just at my labor council, and my labor council is a small labor council, we have unions representing rocket scientists and commissary workers, letter carriers and laborers, iron workers and project managers. I mean, we have really the full scope of working people in North Alabama, and we are organized. And so the body where we come together as organized working people really should be something that's at the center of the political power and the social power in a community. And so, you know, tying it back to this initiative, that's something that like Connor said, we hope to really build on and encourage people to think about labor councils as places where working people can wield power as well, as we are pushing for labor councils and affiliates to endorse Sean Fain's call to align contracts to May 1st, 2028.
Well, I'll see what I can do over here in northeastern Ohio. I got some pretty good ties with the labor councils here. So, yeah, you know, movement's got to start somewhere. I mean, look what happened. Last year was a heck of a year for organized labor. So let's keep it going here. One question here for you, Jacob. I know the Mercedes vote is, what is it, next weekend? How are you looking on that right now?
My understanding, talking to the folks, is that they feel good about it. And obviously the rest of us in Alabama and the labor movement are really waiting with bated breath to see them join the labor movement and to join the UAW. I think it's going to be very exciting, and it's something that, you know, the labor movement across the country and particularly in Alabama really needs is a win. And so we're looking forward to seeing them win at Mercedes and seeing them win at Hyundai and at Toyota and Mazda, and then getting a good union contract that expires on May 1st, 2028, and all of us bargaining our contracts together.
Well, we'll see what happens here. Interesting couple of years ahead. Jacob Morrison of the Valley Labor Report joining us, and Connor Lewis, who is a member of the Washington Baltimore News Guild, also president of the Seven Mountains AFL-CIO, covering four counties in central Pennsylvania, talking about what possibly could happen if so many unions band together and decide, you know what, our contract is ending and we're going on strike. Gentlemen, thank you so much. We'll stay in touch with you on this issue and more. That'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, labor lawyer Andrew Strom and the United Steelworkers. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.